First John in the New Testament, and we just started First John last Sunday. Now, if you were not here, please pick up last Sunday's message so that you're current on this series that we're doing through this wonderful epistle of John. But this morning, we're going to begin in verse 5, but let me just read our text and we'll pray. 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message which we've heard from him. Declare to you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, if we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie, do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Father, we come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ, and each and every person who is named a believer in this chapel this morning, and those who are listening live online. Lord God, we come to the throne of grace, that place where we find mercy and help and grace in time of need, with the promise that we may obtain it. If we as a body, if we as an individual Christian, if we have sinned, O God, in your eyes this morning, this week, done anything in word, in deed, in thought, in action, grieved, quenched, or vexed the Holy Spirit of God in any form or any way, we run to the throne of grace. Oh, Lord, and wash out our hearts and our minds and our doings and never remember them again. We leave every wrongdoing, Lord, in the sea of eternal forgetfulness. We look only to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith this morning. Lord, help me. Help me to teach these divine truths perfectly, accurately, and passionately. Open up, Lord, the door of the window of blessing and the Holy Spirit of God. Visit your people, the sheep of your pasture this morning, and bless the word that you have now exalted above your very name. We love you. We praise you, Lord, and we're open. Our hearts are open to be taught this morning. In Jesus' name, and the church says, amen. 1 John, an incredible book. John is the last of the 12 apostles. They're all gone now. They're all dead. And he is at the end of his life, probably somewhere in Ephesus, and he writes this. There's no opening. There's no closing. He doesn't say who it is, but we know it's him. And he's telling us how to have fellowship, how to walk in the Spirit, how to be close and have intimacy with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you a question. Do you really want that kind of intimacy? I'm not talking about religion. I'm not talking about singing hymns. Nothing wrong with singing hymns. You know, it's easy to come in here and worship the Lord, but at times maybe our mind and our heart is very far from him while we're worshiping him. Come on, let's be honest. Amen? You know, our mind is on something else, on our need, our hurt, our children, or our sickness, or something. Or we're consumed, or we're worn out. And we want to worship the Lord. We want to find him. We want to be intimate. But somehow our flesh is so weak, even though the Spirit is willing. Listen, when we gather together, our Lord and Savior is in our midst. He's here this morning. Remember why John wrote this from last week. He wrote this epistle. It's found in 1 John 5:13. Let me read it to you. These things I've written to you who believe, that's us, who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, past fact, eternal reality, and that you may continue to believe in the name of the Son of God. He says, I'm writing this so you'll be assured of your salvation, so you can know that you're really saved. You know, where we don't have to wonder if we're saved or not. Last week, we also found another scripture because, see, the word write or written is listed 13 times in 1 John. And that's why it's so hard to outline these five chapters. It's like, John, you've written it for so many reasons. And last week, we learned in chapter 1, verse 4, where he says, in these things I write, why? It says that your joy, that's what we need. Your joy may be full. It may be overflowing. It remains full. And that joy is the joy of the Lord, which is our strength. Amen? But that kind of joy, not happiness. Remember, happiness is external. It depends on external circumstances. Joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Joy is inward. It's His joy living in our hearts. But the only way for that joy to explode, the only way for our cup to runneth over, is to have fellowship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Are you following me? In other words, to have koinonia. That word means fellowship. It means intimacy. And that's what God wants us to have. And that's where that joy comes from. Listen to me now. If you are a believer, and even if you're not a believer this morning, I know not who's saved and who isn't saved, but I do know this. Jesus, well, number one, He wants to save you if you're not saved. But number two, Jesus wants intimacy with you. Have you ever just been alone and you're saying, oh, Lord, where are you? Anyone ever said that? I'm sure everyone in this room, you're going through a wound, you're going through a hard time, you're going through a divorce, your children are in trouble or whatever, and you're alone in the house and just you. And you say, Lord, where are you? You know how Jesus would respond? The Bible says that I am near to those of a broken heart. He's right there. Practicing that awareness, knowing that He's with us at every moment. Jesus made us a promise. The risen Lord promised us. He said this to the disciples and to us. He said, and lo, I am with you always, always, even till the end of the age. Amen. Jesus is with you in your brokenness, in your hurt, in your discouragement, in the times of joy. He's there. But here's the deal. You can find Him. You can find Him every day. You can be intimate with Him every moment, every day, if you really want to. It's a decision that you and I make. You see, He's there. He loves you so much. He loves me so much. He loves the world so much. He died for this sick, fallen, sin-filled, cursed world that we live in. And I look at it and I say, oh, Lord, I want that fellowship. Remember last week we talked about that we fellowship not with the seen, because I don't see Jesus, do you? But He's here. How is He here? The Word says He is. So by faith, I know it. We fellowship with the unseen Lord who is in our midst. And if you don't trust that, then you'll never fellowship with the Lord. You're going to wait for some kind of reality you can see. And here's what you're going to do. If you don't know and reach out into the unseen world to worship Him, to find Him, to have intimacy with Him, you will, not that you want to, but you'll create some shadows. You'll create shadow fellowship. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning, is fellowshipping with shadows. We don't want to do that. How do you fellowship with a shadow? Huh? Do you know the shadow of a dog? Have you ever seen the shadow of a dog? Well, I thought the first service was hard, but you guys are killing me. Can the shadow of a dog, can you pet the shadow? Oh, good Rover. Roll over. No. The shadow of a dog, you know, they can't. Have you ever had a shadow lick you? Huh? No. I mean, the shadow of a dog can't bite you. Shadows are not real. They're not the reality. Are you following me? There's nothing in the shadows. There's nothing real in shadows. You have to be in the light. And if you're not in the light, you cannot have fellowship. Are you following me? Now listen, we must move out of that area that's called the shadows and move into where there really is that light. Now, loved one, listen, when you study out the Bible, the word shadow is not a bad word. I mean, you know, the Bible in Psalm, it talks about us hiding in the secret place under the shadow or the wings of Almighty. But now listen to me. That's the safest place on earth to be, is in God's shadow. Amen? But listen now. To be in God's shadow, it's not available to everyone. Oh, well, let me back up. It's available to every believer, but only to those believers who press in intimacy and fellowship. Do you understand? It's available, but you have to be intimate with the Lord. You've got to press in. So when we think of the word shadow in a metaphorical sense, like I said, you know, they're the shadow of Almighty God, or like the cloud by day that provided the shade, if you will, for the children of Israel when they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Or where the Bible talks about the shadow of death, or is our days being like a shadow, they just pass away. But when you use shadow in a literal sense, then the word shadow means where light cannot penetrate. Say that with me, where light cannot penetrate. Now listen, I don't want to be in any place, I don't want to be in any place where light cannot penetrate, amen? That's why we can't fellowship with shadows. We have to have the reality. And so here's how we do it, beginning in verse 5. This is the message, John shouts here. He says, which we've heard from him, meaning from Jesus, the Lord, and declare to you that God is holy, and he is. That God is pure, that God is unmixed, that God moves without even making a shadow. He says, God is light, and in him is no darkness. None, zilch, no darkness at all. So John starts out, he's almost shouting at you and me. He says, listen, this message that we receive, meaning the 12, he says, listen, it did not originate with me. It didn't originate with Paul or Peter, James, John, or Paul, none of those. He said, listen, Jesus Christ told us, and now I am not giving you information. I am declaring, meaning I've been commanded to tell you something. He says, God is light. Think about that for a moment. God is light. You know, when you start thinking about how do you define God? It's hard to do. You go through the Bible and look up all the things that God is. In other words, it says in John 4:24, it says God is spirit. And those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. When we get over to chapter 4, verse 8 of 1 John, we're going to find out that God is love. And then when we find out also in John 5:12, it says that God is life. When we get into 5:20, it's going to say God is true. All these defining attributes of God. But then he opens, he said, but God is light. Now listen, he's not saying that God is a light among many lights. He's saying that he who created light, God said, let there be light, light was. He himself is uncreated light because he has always been. He's eternal. Amen? So in other words, when we look at this, he didn't say light is God. Because, you know, what would that do if we said that? That means this morning we could, when the sun arose, we could say, oh, there's the light. And we could say, well, I'm a sun worshiper. You see what I'm saying? That would be idolatry. No, it doesn't say light is God. It says God is light. He is light eternal. And thank God the light became visible, and his name is Jesus Christ, the light of the world. He's the one who lives in our heart. He's the one who is present with us. And you know, isn't it amazing how light drives out darkness? Have you, you know, you go into a bedroom and it's dark in the middle of the night, and you go to the back and there's total dark. I can't see a thing. You turn on a switch, the light comes on, and the darkness goes. Where does the darkness go? You ever think about that? Okay, evidently you don't. I can tell you're excited bunch this morning. You're probably upset because of yesterday's Texas OU game. Well, TCU won. Never mind. TCU's in our hometown. You don't follow TCU? God is light, and light drives out the darkness. You understand? When you're in the light, when you're in the light of God, there is no darkness at all. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:16 that God dwells in inapproachable, inaccessible light. The Bible says, and the psalmist has said in Psalm 36:9, it says, in your light we see light. Jesus said in John 8:12, he said, I am the light of the world, and he who follows me shall not walk in what? Darkness, but have the light of life. Now listen to me. If you're going to have fellowship with Jesus Christ, if you're going to be intimate with your Savior, if you're really going to get to know him in an intimate way, I'm talking about intimacy, knowing Him, understanding Him. Listen, God wants to touch you. He wants to manifest Himself to you. John 14 tells you that the word manifest there, where He says, we want to make our home with you, we want to manifest ourselves to you, means that Jesus wants to make Himself real to you. Well, Bill, He is real to me. He lives in my heart. But are you having fellowship? Are you having intimacy in your prayer time? You know, a lot of times, you know what people do? They have a Bible study time and they substitute Bible study for fellowship. No. You're supposed to study the Word of God. You're supposed to renew your mind. That's how you're transformed, is by the renewing of your mind. Fellowship is intimacy with the Lord, worshiping Him in spirit and truth, locking yourself away and saying, I know You're here, and I'm worshiping You. I'm finding You. You know, prayer is not a monologue. It's a dialogue. I speak, He speaks. Are you listening to me? It's intimacy. When you get married, you go away on your honeymoon. Do you stay in separate rooms? No. Right? No, there's an intimacy there. Now listen, to fellowship with Jesus is to start embracing His plans into your life, His purposes into your life, His intimacy into your life. But if you're not following Him, now listen, that means all of a sudden, I don't want to hurt your feelings, I don't care if I hurt Him or not, but here's the deal. If you're not following Jesus, are you in the light? You can't be in the light. Jesus said, I am the light. He who follows me will not be in darkness. If you're not following Him, that means following Him, traveling with Him, moving on with Him. Wherever He says to go, you're going. Whatever He says to give up, you're giving up. He has the right to rule your life, rule your marriage, rule your home. He bought you at a price. Amen? Well, a lot of the church, they don't like that today. They want to erase those scriptures. Well, you can't erase them. We were hell bound and now we're heaven bound. Thank God. Why? Jesus Christ. So He has the right to rule. He purchased you, purchased me. He says, listen, if you're not following me, there's no way you're having fellowship with me. Because I'm way over there and you're way over there. You're in the shadows. You're fellowshipping with other things. You're out here in the darkness and you're not doing anything at all. Christian, listen to me. There is only one light in all the world. Do you hear me? Oh, there's a lot of false lights. There's a lot of false shadows. I'm telling you, there's only one light. He's Jesus Christ. Are you with me? And only a Christian, not a Baptist, not a Presbyterian, not a Methodist, not a Pentecostal, not a Calvary Chapelite. Nothing wrong with those names. Well, Baptist, maybe. I'm just joking. Just joking. Only a Christian, a born-again Christian, has the privilege, has the honor of walking in the light. I mean, listen, why would we want to worship shadows? Why would we want to fellowship with shadows, things that are not real? I need to be touched. I need Him to touch my heart. I need to be embraced. He's called Father, my Father which art in heaven. I need Him to hold me. I need Him to hold my hand, to guide me, to lead me. I don't know which way to go. I need the light. Are you following me? And the only way to have that is in fellowship. Now listen, God saved us. Remember what it said in 2 Peter 1:19, where it says that God called us out of what? Darkness. In other words, we used to live in darkness. He called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Think about that. Oh, I get excited. I say, oh, Lord, You're so good. Because see, I was living in a world before I became a Christian. Listen, I was living in a world, still live in this world, but I was living in a world that's drenched in darkness, that had absolutely no light in it at all. And the reason is the Bible tells us. It says in 1 John 5:19, it says, for the whole world lies in the sway, the cradle, the arms of the wicked one. The whole unbelieving world. They don't know that. They would never say, you think the devil has a hold on me? You know, I'm a good person, whatever. I don't worship the devil. Well, you may not worship the devil, but the fact of the matter is your mind is blind. If you're not born again, you're in darkness. You're not in the light. Are you following me? And so I say, oh, Lord, thank You for saving me. We live in a world right now, like John told us. Remember over in John 3:19, it says the light has come into the world. He said this is condemnation, that light has come into the world. And men hated the light because they loved darkness. When a person is not born again, they love darkness. They love darkness. They like shadows. They trust in shadows. They live for shadows. They desire shadows. But the thing is, none of them are real, but they think that they're real. See, a lost person thinks that they're having life, but they don't have any spiritual life in them at all. Ephesians 2, 1 says that they are dead. They are dead. They are dead in trespasses and sins. Spiritually dead. They don't have the life of God. They don't have the light of God. Are you following me this morning? This is important. We've got to get the shadows out of our life. Amen? Because we want intimacy. We want the real thing. We don't want anything that's phony. You know, listen, we were once, before we came to Christ, we were held captive in darkness. Remember what Paul writes to the church of Colossae? He says in Colossians 1:13, he says, he, meaning Jesus, has delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us over to the kingdom of the Son of his love. Translated us. Man, that's conveyed us. That's like this. Let's say you lived in Arkansas. God help you, but you lived there. And all of a sudden, God said, oh, you're in Arkansas. I'm going to translate you out of that place and put you in good old Fort Worth, okay? Well, that's the same thing. Now you're out of darkness. I'm not saying Arkansas is darkness. In other words, you've been rescued. I've been rescued. It says the power of darkness. Now listen to me, talking about shadows, talking about real intimacy with Jesus. Folks, listen, the power of darkness. Darkness has power. It has power. And I started thinking, oh Lord, you know what? Satan, oh, he's dark. But Satan, it says in the Bible that Satan transforms himself. That word transform means he disguises, he masquerades. Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. Think about that. Oh, he loves to deceive people, especially the lost. He doesn't want anyone to come to Jesus. Listen, the devil doesn't care if you're a Muslim, if you're a Buddhist, if you're a Hindu. He doesn't care. He hates everybody. But he doesn't want anyone to come to Christ. No one. He doesn't want anyone to be saved. He appears as an angel of light, and oh, how he loves to deceive. Listen, here's what the devil does. Satan makes darkness appear as light. Are you listening to me? He makes darkness appear as light. But here's the problem. It is only a shadow. It is not the reality. Listen, if I saw a shadow of a big longhorn bull or steer, whatever you call it, longhorn cow, I couldn't go over there and I couldn't have a T-bone steak, could I? Well, no, why? He's not real. To get a real T-bone steak, I got to get to the real longhorn. You guys, are you? I'm struggling up here, okay? Y'all need to pray for me. I'm trying to get a point across. I'm serious, man. Lay awake all night praying for y'all. I'm telling you, this is terrible. I'm not doing that anymore. It's over with. No, listen. That shadow may look good. That shadow may say, oh, have all these promises. But it's a shadow. Like I said, the shadow of a cow can't produce a T-bone steak. You've got to go to the real one to get a T-bone. Now, listen. We're in trouble in our nation. And, you know, the church is the only answer because we're the only light. And yeah, I'm sure you read that article just recently where it was talking about how that all of a sudden America, of course, we know it's not a Christian nation, but a religious affiliation, it says on this headline, on decline in America, just this month from the Associated Press. Listen to what it says. For the first time in history in the United States, it does not have a Protestant majority. The new low, 48%. No Protestants are on the U.S. Supreme Court, and the GOP has its first presidential ticket with no Protestant nominees. American voters who describe themselves as having no religion are overwhelmingly Democrats and support abortion and gay rights. Now, listen to what he says in this article from the Associated Press. He said, these nuns, now not like a nun, the flying nun, not, I don't mean that, or with the habit. Nun, N-O-N-E-S. It says, these nuns are the increasing segment of voters in America. Do you ever wonder who these nuns are? What do they think? What do they feel? I just read an article from a major newspaper. This is a little lengthy, but hold on. Just let me get it to you. Here's the topic of the article, October 2012. It says, why Christianity is dying while spirituality is thriving. He starts out in this article and he goes, Christianity is dying Or to put it more accurately, the Christian church is dying, while the Christian faith, in too few places still, seems to be slowly but gratefully, listen to what he says now, morphing into something new and better. Now listen, there is nothing new and better. But they're morphing into it. In other words, they're leaving the light and going to a shadow. Are you following me? They're going to a false reality. He goes on to say how so many people that the church in America is not growing, and it's not. And you know, we go on, we can look at mega churches, and you know, I'm going to tell you something about mega churches today. Do a study. The reason they're mega churches is because it's transfer growth. It's not people being born again. Christians are declining in America. We're not increasing. And he goes on to write that these are going from church to church, and here's what they're doing. They're trying to find intimacy. They're trying to find meaning. They're trying to find the real Jesus. Now listen to what these nuns, N-O-N-E-S, are embracing from the article. He says, before long, scores of them, meaning the nuns, they wind up leaving even these big mega churches, and they join the ranks of these people known as the nuns, who are, by the way, now one in every five Americans. These nuns have all but given up on religion and now simply regard themselves as spiritual but not religious. I regard these few churches as glimmers of hope scattered here and there. So what does this new emergent within the Christian religion look like? You could read the whole article, but it's too long. Just one or two points. Number one, here's what he said. He said, this new emerging church is made up of people who are rewriting Christian theology. Now listen to what he says. And he says, it needs to be rewritten. And he starts out and he starts going on and he says, for decades, the church has sought to survive on a doctrine of salvation that depended upon the shedding of innocent blood. Boy, I'll tell you, there's no other by the shedding of blood as the remission of sin. Amen? And he says, to appease an angry God as to rescue humanity from an otherwise eternal torment in hell. Listen to what he says. It's crazy theology. It's not what Jesus taught. Yes, it is. Running to shadows, running to something that's not real. Only the blood of Jesus, only his death, substitutionary death on the cross can save a man. Amen? Save a person. And they go on to say, because of this now, we are the new church that we are embracing gay marriage, and we embrace the truths that science teaches about creation. We embrace psychology and Hinduism and Buddhism. And let me tell you the man's name, Dr. Steve McSwain. He says, I grew up Baptist. I've been a Christian minister for over 20 years, but I did not receive my spiritual awakening until I quit going to church. Today, he's a devoted follower of the Christ path, knowing God, but argues that Christianity is not the only way to God. Now listen, I read that lengthy article, something I very seldom ever do, to make a point this morning. The church, so many in the church, they're coming in, they've been taught from the pulpit that, you know, if you come in here, you're going to be rich, you're going to be wealthy, you're going to be good looking, you're never going to have any problems, you're never going to have any warfare, you're never going to get sick, you're never going to die. You understand what I mean? That's bull. That's Texas talk. It's bull. If you're a Christian, you're going to have trouble in this life. But thank God, Jesus is with us through our trouble. And he says that he delivers us out of all of our afflictions. Listen, to be a Christian doesn't mean that all of a sudden you're walking down tiptoe through the tulips. Remember Tiny Tim? You know, that's not what that means. No, you're going to have warfare. There's a devil out there. There's a flesh. We live in a world that's fallen. But thank God we have the promises of God, the grace of God, the power of God, and the leading of the Holy Spirit in our life. The word of God to get us home. And I look and I say, oh Lord, I don't want a part of that. I don't want anything of that. And I'm sure that this man, I'm no way judging him. And I'm sure he's probably a sincere person and he's probably a good person and a kind person, but he's a deceived person. And the problem with that is Satan, the angel of light who makes darkness look like light. He said, that's good. That's the way to go. I understand that now. And now I'm out in the shadows. That means he's out of the light. He's out of the light. He's out in darkness. You know what the Bible says about people who do such things? Who said, we don't have the blood of Jesus. That's crazy theology. You know what God says? He says in Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness. It was just this week I learned of a former friend a once pastor who publicly embraces abortion. And not only that, publicly embraced the supported the National Coming Out Day for the gay parade and all those things. And I'm going, I know you. Why would you do that? Why would you say those? Listen, not about beating up gays or anybody like that. No, that's not what I mean. It's about exalting yourself above the Word of God. What God says in His Word is true. Let every man be a liar. Amen? And I look at all those things and I say, oh, listen, that's a shadow. You've just gone into darkness. There's no light there, and I'm not going to fellowship with that. I'm going to tell you the best thing a lot of us could do. You know, on my 60th birthday, I got a flat screen TV. You know those flat screen TVs? I had a little TV in the corner that sat in the corner, and it didn't work very well, but I got that flat screen TV. Now everything is clear. Movies look good. I mean, I watch a lot of news, and so you look at it, you can see, hey, boy, that's a guy that's got a pimple right there, and you know what I'm saying? That makeup didn't cover that. Oh, you've got more wrinkles than I ever thought you had. But here's a problem. We can't live in the light of a flat screen TV. No. The Bible tells us in Psalm 119, 105, it says that the word of God is a what? A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. We need to get into the Word. We need to know what God says. You can't find light without getting in God's Word. You can't walk in the light unless you're living in the light. That's what we have to do. That's why it says there in verse 6, quickly, look at this. If we say, we can talk about it all we want, not somebody else. It says if we say it. If we say we have intimacy, if we have koinonia, if we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, what does it say? We're a bunch of liars. We're liars. He says, we lie and do not practice the truth. In other words, we're liars in word. We're liars in deed. And all of that. Church, listen now. You can't have fellowship with God and walk in darkness and in the light at the same time. It's impossible. It's impossible. We can't have a lifestyle of sin and say, hey, I'm in fellowship with God. It doesn't work that way. Oh, no. Listen, I'm going to tell you what's deceiving today, the things that are happening. Is that you can come into some fellowships. I'm not going to say which one. It could be cults. But you can come into some places today, and you know what you could do? You can experience false fellowship, false intimacy with a false God that produces a false joy and that will lead you into a false salvation. Do you understand what I just said? Man, do we need to examine ourselves. Everything I teach, church, you need to be a Berean. You need to go and say, I'm going to check Bill out, see if he's teaching it right. You need to know what I'm saying. Don't trust me. Trust God's Word. Check me out. Listen, I want to be in the light. That's why it says in verse 7, it says, oh, but if we, church, Calvary Chapel, if we do something, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, look what happens. We have fellowship. We have intimacy with one another. That means with God, with Jesus, and ourselves. God and the Christian. Jesus and the Christian. He says, and the blood of Jesus, not just any blood, that precious blood, the blood of Jesus does something. Watch this. It cleanses us. That word is present tense, continuous in the Greek, which means it keeps on cleansing us. The long as you're in the light, He keeps washing us, cleansing us. Are you following me? Cleansing us from what? From all sin. Now listen very carefully. The place, the only place that intimacy with God is found is in the light. In the light. When you get outside of the light, intimacy is not there. It's in the light, when you walk in the light, when your lifestyle is in the light, loved one. That's what it's talking about. And when you're in the light, it means that you're not only having intimacy, it means that you're experiencing Him, you're experiencing real life, and not only that, the continued revelation that you need in your life for His plan for your life, the known will of God, the unknown will of God, is revealed to you. It's going to be done in the light. Now listen to me. Whenever you run across a gossipy, mean, bitter, sharp-tongued Christian, of course you need to love them and pray for them and all that, and not beat them up or anything. That's wrong. But they're out of the light. Are you understanding me? They're out of the light, loved one. You know, when we talk about anger, people get, oh, I'm just, you know, you made me mad. Well, okay, we'll get over it. It's like my wife tells me all the time, build a bridge, Bill, and get over it. I said, okay. Anger. You may have come here this morning, you know, you're smiling, you're hugging, you're loving, but you know, in your heart, see, I'm an angry person. I don't want to be an angry person. I'm an angry person. God says, I love you. I died for you. And my Holy Spirit lives in you. You can move forward by my grace and the power of another, and I'll wash that anger out of your heart. The Bible says in Psalm 138:8, God says, I will perfect those things which concerneth you. Paul writes to the church at Philippi in Philippians 1:6, and he says, he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So you know what you do? You say, Lord, look at this junk in my heart. I know that's anger. I know that's bitterness. I know that's unforgiveness. I know that's lust, whatever it might be. And said, Lord, there's no light there. I want your light there. I want to wash all of that stuff away. We don't want to live in shadows. We don't want to fellowship with shadows. He says, if we say we have no sin, it says we deceive ourselves, and the truth is what? Not in us. Now, did you notice it said if we have no sin, that's sin singular. That's not talking about an act of sin. It's talking about our sin nature. If we say, hey, I don't have a sin nature. I'm a good guy. I'm a good woman. What are you talking about, man? That's religious talk. God says, you're deceived. He says, look at that. He said, we deceive ourselves. And he says, the truth is not in us. There's no such thing as sinless perfection. Amen? Nothing. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. Listen, you know, if you ever run across a person, and I have, I've never sinned. I said, really? Oh, I'm going to get as far away from you as I am, but God's getting ready to kill you. I'm just joking. You'll say, next time you run across somebody that comes up to you and says, listen, I haven't sinned in years, say, can I have your wife's telephone number? She'll tell the truth. You understand what I mean? Yeah, listen, no, it's crazy. No, it says if we're like that, the truth is not in us. You see, if we claim to be sinless, God says, he says, my truth is not in you. And who is just not the truth of the gospel? Jesus said, I am the truth. I am the way, I'm the life, I'm the truth. Meaning Jesus, he doesn't live in our hearts. We're deceiving ourselves. And you know, a lot of people today, you know, and you run across people that don't know the Lord all the time, and they'll say, listen, I'm a good person. I'm a hard worker. I take care of my wife. I take care of my family. I mow my yard. I wash my car. I take care of my kids. I pay my taxes. I vote Democratic. You know what I mean? That's when you know they're really in trouble. The Bible says, God says, this is written, there's none righteous. Romans 3:10, none, none, none. He says, there's none who understands, none who seeks after God. They've all turned aside. They're all unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. Tell me one person here, anyone here never sinned? No. Listen, you know, when you were born a sinner. Amen. It's just the way it is. I mean, nobody had to. Do you have to teach your children to lie? Come here, let me show you how to lie. No, they were born liars. I don't even want to talk to y'all anymore. It says, if we confess our sins, I love this. If we confess them, look what God is. He is faithful just to forgive us. Forgive us. Cancel our debt. Put it far away from us. Forgive us of our sins, plural. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what the word confess means? The word confess means to say the same thing. In other words, God, you're right. I agree with you. I sinned. And now I want to confess my sin. I want to get it out of my heart. I don't want anything to do with it, Lord. See, it's easy to say I'm a sinner. It's another thing to confess your sins. See, to confess a sin means you know you've messed up. It hurts you. You know you've done wrong. And a contrite heart and say, oh, Lord, forgive me, wash me, cleanse me. I've blown it. And boy, God does. He cleanses us from all sin. What a wonderful, wonderful promise. If we confess our sins. Listen, I want to ask you a question. Study your Bible. And I want you to find out how many times in the Word of God that God himself has been unfaithful. I can already give you the answer. Never. God has never been unfaithful. It says here, God is what? Faithful. Oh, thank you. Do you know the assurance that gives me? Oh, Lord, you're faithful. I've blown it. See, now listen to me. Here's where we get in trouble. You know, see, when we sin, we don't want to go sin, but if we sin, it does not break relationship. In other words, sonship, daughtership. We're born again, okay? We're children of the Lord. It doesn't break our relationship with God. It breaks our fellowship with God. Does that make sense? In other words, God says, you're my son and you're in trouble. You're living in darkness. Now, you want to get back to me. You want to come back to me. You don't want me to chasten you. You don't want me to track you down and break your legs and drag you back into the kingdom of God. He said, you need to confess right now. Be quick to repent. Amen. Be quick to repent. Confession of sin is the only way out of the shadows. It's the only way out of the darkness. It's the only way back to God is to repent. Thank God for that. And if we say that we have not sinned, it says, look what we do. We make him a liar. And his word is not in us, meaning the word of life, meaning Jesus has never, ever found room in our hearts, ever. So, how do we make God a liar if it says, if we say we've not sinned? How do we make God a liar? Well, we do that because God's entire plan of salvation and redemption is because of human sin, isn't it? It's because man sinned from the beginning. And so we look at it and say, oh Lord, see, to claim exemption from sin is to make the gospel irrelevant, make Jesus' death irrelevant. John 1:29 doesn't mean anything. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Might as well toss that one out. Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins through his blood. We might as well throw that out as well. But no, God says, no, you're a liar. I'm not the liar. You're a liar. The Bible says in 1 John 5:10, he who believes in me, in the Son of God, has this witness in himself. Boy, we do. And you know, you may be here this morning, you say to yourself, you know, Bill said, I'm in sin. I hope that you're not. I'm living in sin, secret sin, presumptuous sin. I'm in sin. I'm in trouble. I'm not in the light. Man, I'm outside of the light. I'm living in shadows and darkness. I'm fellowshipping with the world, the biggest deceiver of them all, that and the devil. Then I have some wonderful news because John, all of a sudden, he switches now. And he goes into chapter 2, verse 1, and look how he opens to our hearts. He says, listen, my little children. That word in the Greek literally means little born ones or born again ones. Those, my little sheep or whatever, those that are in Christ Jesus. He said, listen, these things I write to you. And now he's going to tell us why. So that you may not sin. Don't you wish that we could say that all the time? I don't want to sin. Lord, you're right. I may not sin. If I could just never sin, if I could never get mad at those people on the freeway that cut me off, if I could never want to run them down, I'm just joking. If I could never judge that person, if I never have that filthy thought, God, if I just, I don't want to sin. I the desire in my heart that I may not sin. Did you know that becoming a Christian does not free you from the ability to stop sinning? Did you know that? I mean, yes, you're free from sin. Don't get me wrong. The grace of God, it's not permission to sin. But sometimes we blow it. And you know what? We don't want to blow it, but we do blow it. Sometimes we're deceived, just like Eve, and we blow it. Thank God it says, if anyone sins, okay, Lord, I can handle this one. If anyone sins, look what we have. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Oh, thank God. Sin, yes, unfortunately, sin is a reality. You know, but here's the thing. When we sin, we know it. And you know what? Yes, it hurts us. But you know what God is telling us here is this. Listen, you don't want to sin. I don't want to sin. But sin is a definite reality. But we cannot live, church, listen to me now. We cannot live in the sin or the shadow of yesterday, can we? Come on, if you blow it yesterday, let me ask you a question. If you miss breakfast in the morning, are you going to say, I'm just never going to have breakfast again? I miss breakfast, that's it. And I'm never going to eat breakfast again. No, you don't even think like that. But there are Christians who say, Lord, you can't forgive that. I know you won't forgive that. You can't. Jesus died for the sins of the world, past, present, future. Every person, he paid their sin debt. He goes, listen, I know you're in trouble, but you can't let what happened yesterday, you know, in your life. There's things that, listen, we've all done things in our past before we were saved and since we're saved that we're ashamed of. Amen? Don't be religious on me. Be real. Yeah, all of us have. All of us. And God says, oh, listen, here's what you need to know. You know, don't listen to the devil. The devil will say, you know what the devil will do to you? The devil will come and say, oh, yeah. Here you are again. Yeah, back again. You're nothing but you're a loser. How many times do you think God is going to let you run back to Him? You're never going to have victory in your life. Why don't you just quit and become with the nuns? You know what I mean? Go out there and be a tree hugger or something. No, listen. Did you see that word there in verse 1 of chapter 2? You see this most important word? It says, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. We have a Father who loves us so much He sent Jesus to die for our sins. Listen, when we sin, oh, God is so good to us. We don't lose relationship with Him. Just like, you know, when my son, Thomas, when he was growing up, I mean, when I had to, you know, spank him and beat him and abuse him. And even though he did wrong, was he still my son? Yes. But I'll tell you what, fellowship was broken until he came back and said, okay, Dad, you know what? You're right. I said, yes, right. I'm always right. No, listen. That word Father, we haven't lost our relationship. We've lost our fellowship. And if you this morning are out of fellowship with God, listen to me now. You, Christian, you have an advocate. Don't listen to the devil. Don't listen to him. He says, you can't come back. God will never forgive you again. God says, you come back to me. I want to have intimacy. Get out of the darkness. Run away from those shadows. You come to me right now because you have a paraclete. That's what that word advocate means, paraclete. It means helper. It means counselor. It means comforter. The same word as the Holy Spirit. It's a legal term. It means one who comes alongside of you to help you. The word advocate means one who speaks in your defense. He's our defender. It says Jesus Christ, the righteous one. Jesus, that's His mission. Remember Jesus? It says in Matthew 1:21, you shall call His name Jesus, and He shall save His people from their sins. Christ, Jesus Christ. Christ is His authority, the perfect one. That's His righteous, perfect, spotless, sinless life. Everything Jesus did pleased the Father. He is our advocate. You know what the word advocate means? He's our attorney. Have you ever met a spotless, perfect, clean attorney before? That's who He is, and He is there to defend you. In other words, I've blown it. Lord, listen, I did it. I know I did it. I didn't want to do that, but I did it. Jesus says to the Father, He pleads our case. Why? He goes, Father, that's Bill. He sinned, but I paid his debt on Calvary all those years ago. I died in his place. I took his guilt, his shame, his suffering. I took it all for him. I paid it. Now, forgive him. And God says, you're forgiven because of the blood of my son, because of the death of my son. Are you listening to me? He is our substitute. He is our advocate. He took our place. That's why it says, and he himself, meaning Jesus in verse 2, is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the whole world. The propitiation. In Romans 3:25, the word propitiation is used as mercy seat. And Jesus is our mercy seat. We're learning that through the book of Exodus, aren't we? But here it means not mercy seat, the place where God and man comes together to meet. It means the atoning sacrifice. In other words, He was our substitute. He took our place. He paid for our sins. He is the propitiation for everyone's sins. Not only that, but the sins of the whole world. But you know what? In order to have your sins forgiven, even though they are forgiven, you have to come to Him and receive Him. Amen? Without that, your sins, you're going to have to pay for them yourself. Jesus said, I've already paid for them. Why don't you just come to me? Let me come into your heart. Let me forgive you. Well, why would you want to pay for your own sins? Because if you do, you're going to be in hell the rest of your life. That's a horrible word, hell. And I think about, oh God. Now listen to me, and let me close this morning. We are the church of the 21st century. We do not want to fellowship with shadows. Amen? Shadows are not real. Listen, just like the church at Sardis, you know, God says in the church of Sardis, in the book of Revelation, He said, you have a name that you're alive, Jesus said. He said, but you're dead. You're dead. You're not having fellowship with me. See, we can come together. We can have a big cross out there on our new sanctuary. And you know, we can have pews and smoke machines and whatever else we have. You know, we don't have that really. You know, and all the stuff and sing and clap and shout and come to church, carry a big black Bible and mark it all up. But if we're not having intimacy, we're dead. And it's only found in the light. It's not found anywhere else. Now, let me just close with a few thoughts that I consider very, very important. Everything in the world is a shadow. Do you understand me? Boy, people live for the world. I mean, they live for the things of the world. Listen, just turn the page or look at chapter 2. Look at verse 15. What does he say? Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life is not of the Father, but it is of this world. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Everything in the world is a shadow. We don't look at the things. These things are temporary. Amen. We look at things that are eternal. The world. Now listen, the world cannot produce light. It's important that you write it down and think about it. The world cannot produce light. Now listen to me. The world can produce knowledge, but the world cannot produce light, especially God's light. Are you listening to me? The world doesn't have God's light. Jesus is the light of the world. There's only one light, none else. See, the world can produce knowledge, but they don't know what to do with the knowledge they produce. They don't know what to do. Look at our condition of our nation. We have all kinds of knowledge. There's a lot of smart people in America. But look at the condition that we're in. See, with God, though, with the Lord, this is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What is the wisdom of God? The wisdom of God is God's knowledge applied. Well, see, the world says, I'm smart, I have all this information, but I'm not quite sure what to do with it. That's why we're in trouble right now. But see, God's not like that at all. So the world cannot produce light. Now, listen to me now. Only the church can produce light, the light of God. Only the church. I pray that you think about what I'm saying right now. And listen to me. No one can understand God. No one can even see properly unless they're born again. What did Jesus tell us in John 3:3? He said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. When a person is not born from above, when Jesus doesn't live in your heart, it means you're blind. You don't see properly. Oh, it breaks God's heart because he wants you to see. He wants you to walk in the light. He doesn't want you to walk over here in the darkness. He doesn't want you to walk in shadows. He wants you to have the real thing, the real thing. Ephesians 4:18, it says about people who are not born again. Now listen carefully. Maybe you're not born again this morning. Maybe Jesus is not really your Lord. Maybe you've never asked him into your heart. Listen to what God says about that. He loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. Listen to what he says. He says in Ephesians 4:18, it says those who are lost, their understanding is darkened. And here's the reason. It says because they are alienated or separated from the life of God or the fellowship of God, the intimacy of God, the light of God. Why? Because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Do you know, before I was a Christian, I walked in darkness and I experimented with life. I was trusting the shadows of this world, the false shadows, the lying shadows, thinking that if I had success, if I had all this money, if I had all this stuff, then I would be okay. All those things are going to pass away, folks. They're not the reality. Are you listening to me? They're just shadows while we're living here. Church, listen, I don't want to trust in shadows. Paul told King Agrippa, he said, listen, King Agrippa, God sent me on a mission. He sent me to open the eyes of the lost. He says in Acts, it says, and to turn the lost from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins. From darkness to light. A person will never, ever, ever treat darkness as something that is strange until their eyes are opened. You have to be born again. You have to be born from above. Jesus has to come into your heart. You know, I told a person the other day, I was witnessing to them, and I said, listen, God loves you. I said, please don't miss heaven. Please. I said, I'm begging you. Please don't miss eternal life. Don't miss heaven. I said, because if you die outside of Christ in the darkness, God says that you're going to be cast into eternal outer darkness, eternal, that's forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I said, come to Jesus right now. Not to religion. Come to a living relationship right now. I said, please don't spend eternity in hell. God didn't create hell for you. He created hell, it says in the Bible, for the devil and his angels. I said, please don't go there. And if you don't know Jesus, I'm begging you not to go there. Can I tell you as I close about heaven just for a moment? It says in Revelation 21, 1:23. Here's heaven. Ready? Now listen. It said, the city had no need of the sun, no need of the moon to shine in it. Why? Here it is. For the glory of God illuminated it. Ready? Here it is. The Lamb, that's Jesus, the Lamb is its light. Think about that for a moment. Revelation 21:25, it says, its gates shall not be shut at all by day. Why? Because there'll be no night there, no darkness anywhere, no shadows in heaven. Or you understand? Nothing but light. Revelation 22:5, there shall be no night there. There'll be no need for the lamp or the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. That's us. Now listen to what it says. And they shall reign forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. You know why I'm not afraid of death? Oh, I don't want to die, and it's something I don't like to think about. But my Bible tells me, and your Bible tells you in Psalm 23:4, remember, it says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. As you've heard me say a thousand times from this pulpit, if there's a shadow in the valley of death, there has to be a light casting that shadow. And that light is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to get you safely through. The Bible says He is even our guide, even through death. Oh, don't miss heaven. Why would you not want to live in the light, live in that intimacy where Jesus can touch you, heal you, bless you, lead you, guide you into peace and joy? Why not come to Him while there's time?